Happy Mother's Day. This message is dedicated to you, moms, on this Mother's Day. I'm going to start off by thanking you for the sacrifice that you have given to your children. Today we honor your sacrifice, your hard work, your dedication to raise up the next generation with godliness, the Christ-centered focus. One girl writes, "Mommy, I love you lots. You are my favorite person ever. When will I stop loving you? Never, never, never." There's a lot of appreciation due mothers. Mothers have the unique ability to bond with their children in a way that creates a lifelong bond of love. This maternal bond begins in the womb and carries through the rest of life. Mothers are God's gift to show us His love and His care. Motherhood is a tremendous gift of God. Helen Stellar Rice, in her poem, A Mother's Love, says, "A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may. For nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaken. And it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns. And it grows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation. And it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. And many wonderful miracles man cannot understand. And another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand." This is a mother's love, a love that bonds the family together, a love that binds the generations together. This is the love God has designed for women who become mothers to share with their families. Today we honor the love, the sacrifice, and wisdom that God ordained when He created women and He made them to be mothers. Your job is certainly in the short list of essentials. When it comes to essential labor, there is not many things in this world that is more essential than motherhood. For you are the givers of life, the sustainers of life. It is the calling of motherhood that is of the highest calling. It's the calling to take a cute, small, innocent baby and to nurture him into a mature, strong Christian. In other words, your job is that of establishing a Christian civilization with the most unlearned and ignorant people among us. Those cute little babies that just come out and they're so adorable, but they are so needy. This is no small task. Motherhood is a very high calling. Rush Juni writes, in a college classroom before the instructor arrived, an angry student was expressing his disgust with his grandfather, with whom he was living, because he would not let him take his BMW for a spin. And he declared before all the classmates, "I hope he croaks soon so that I can get the car." Other students began to make similar statements about their grandparents. Then, a young-looking grandmother was in the class, and she spoke up and said, "Has it occurred to any of you that you will one day be grandparents?" They all immediately became silent. There's just a difference in what age teaches you. They became silent, but no one repented. God tells us in the Ten Commandments, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Exodus 20, verse 12. This law is a promise of life for obedience and death for disobedience. A society that has no respect for parents has no future, because to despise or neglect our past is to show contempt for our source of life, and yes, even for life itself. Past, present, and future. Paul calls this the first commandment with a promise, meaning this is the first, it is the foundational, it is the most basic promise for a society. Ephesians 6, chapter 2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. We know it wasn't the first commandment, right? It's this first commandment as the most basic commandment with a promise given to children for the blessing of society, for themselves, for their family, and for the culture at large. That he be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. On a human scene, it is a basic law, and it sets the context for the whole of life. Something is radically wrong with a society which further disrespects parents and the basic institution of the family. The calling of motherhood is a high calling. Therefore, it should be honored. There should be given great value. To honor is to show great value towards. These are the promises given by God, that it may be well with you. God places great value on his call for motherhood and places fathers and mothers as a very basic means to establishing a blessed home, a blessed society. So this high calling by motherhood is to be honored. This high calling of motherhood is to be respected. That is to listen to your mother. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, Scripture says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. My son, listen to your mother. Do not forsake her law, her Torah. Do not forsake her instruction that she gives to you. When she says, 'My son, don't go that direction, go this direction,' as you honor your mother, as you listen to the instruction that she's giving to you, it's like putting beautiful chains and jewelry and blessing around your neck. It is a blessing for you to listen to your mother. To not forsake her means to not reject her, to not think little of her. So to dishonor is to think little of her. Oh, it's just my mom. It's just my mom. She's just talking again. I don't need to give what she says any weight. I don't need to give what she says any consideration. It's just my mom." Children, this is not good. We need to honor. We need to listen to our mother. Proverbs 23, verse 22 says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Again, that word to despise is to think little of, to just brush off and not to consider what she's saying. Honor your mother is the key to blessing. Honor her for she is the source of life. Honor her for the sacrifice that she has given. A sacrifice that children are clueless about. Children do not understand the sacrifice of a mother. They do not understand the sacrifice that it takes to raise children. They have no clue and they have no context. I know, for I was once a child. And I once did not consider these things. And I became a teenager. And I thought I knew everything about parenting, especially when I went to college and got a little education. I thought I knew everything about being the perfect everything, certainly a parent. And I could become very critical of my parents before I became one. Then, after I became a parent, I realized that there was much more to parenting than just the criticisms that I had in my own mind for my own parents. So this happens to us all as we mature and grow. So let's get to the point. Honor your father and your mother, because they sacrifice greatly. They have wisdom. And they are appointed by God to be the means of grace by which he has brought you into this world. So honor your father and your mother. Bless her. Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. So let her have the fruit of her hands. Let us bless our mother. Let the children rise up and call their mother blessed. For motherhood is truly a very high calling, and it is deserving of honor and of blessing. In the poem, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, it is stated, "Blessed, blessings on the hand of woman. Angels guard its strength and grace. In a palace, cottage, or hovel, oh, no matter where the place. Would that never storms assail it, rainbows ever gently curled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy's the tender fountain. Power may thy beauty flow. Mothers first to guide the streamlets. From them souls unresting grow. Grow on for the good and evil, sunshine stream or evil hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh, keep thy young heart open, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother's love impearled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of woman, father, son, and daughter's cry, for the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles with no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Because motherhood is such a high calling, know that Satan has his eye on you. Satan has his eye on the mothers to destroy them. If Satan can attack and destroy a mother, just one mother, he can do a tremendous damage to the cause of Christ. If Satan can take out mothers, he can destroy the family. If he can diminish their calling, diminish their importance in society, then he can hinder and destroy the next generation. He can destroy the church. If the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, then the hand that forsakes the cradle will destroy it. We do have an enemy, and he has set his sights on mothers and motherhood. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, roars about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And something as good as mothers, something as noble as motherhood, is certainly something that the devil works relentlessly to destroy. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy." He wants to steal and kill and destroy that which is good, that which is noble, and that which is honorable, that which is of God. And then Jesus makes this contrast. He says, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Everyone is living in one of these two realities. They're living in the abundant life with Christ, or they're living in the barren life under the wiles of the enemy, being beaten down, being destroyed, and being killed. The abundant life or the barren life. The abundant life is what Christ gives to mothers in the gospel of himself, that he came to bring us to the Father, to bring satisfaction, to bring forgiveness, to bring joy and hope and peace and love. But the barren life is what the enemy attacks mothers with. The barren life is the empty life. It is the unsatisfied life. And here is Satan's great hook for mothers. The great hook he has for mothers is discontentment. Discontentment. The devil knows how difficult your life is. The life of a mother can be very full, can be very challenging, can be very difficult. can be full of blessings and can be full of hardships, sleepless nights, long days, unfulfilled expectations. There must be a better way. Broken relationships, children who were once babies on their breast now are teenagers, giving them a hard time, right? Disrespecting them, wanting to go their own way. And mothers are tempted to just say, what's the use? This is the hook that Satan uses to destroy mothers. It is discontentment. Rachel Clark Crockle, C-O-C-K-R-E-L-L, in her helpful article, she writes this, in her article entitled, Six Ways Discontentment Destroys Women. She says this, to be discontent means to be dissatisfied with one's circumstances. It is such a simple little word with such a profound definition. Discontentment ruins relationships, friendships, marriages, and lives. I believe that, for the most part, this is one of Satan's most powerful weapons he uses against women in particular. Satan knows that we women, he knows when we don't get what we want. He knows when we aren't satisfied with our lives as they are. He uses these tiny grains of discontentment and he irritates us with them over and over until you've got a pearl-sized situation, and the tiny grain of discontentment is all of a sudden the size of a Volkswagen. So a little grain of discontentment over and over and over grows. He irritates us with it until it's the only thing in our lives that we can focus on, until everything else no longer matters. This is when our discontentment becomes dangerous. This is when it is capable of destroying our lives. She goes on and she says, regardless of where you are in your life, discontentment is a poison that makes you believe your life isn't enough as it is. It makes you feel like you have to keep reaching, keep searching, keep running after whatever else that is elusive to you. Something that will make your life better. You can never just stop and rest because you are too busy searching and chasing. This isn't me telling you that you should never chase your dreams. By all means, go after what you want. But be aware that discontentment is there. It's hiding in the corner. And if you aren't careful, it will take over. If it takes over, then you will always be looking for something better. You will always be moving, always be chasing. And you will never give yourself an opportunity to just sit back and enjoy the life that you have right now. You will be too focused on what could be but isn't. And you will look into the future so much that you forget the present. Kind of sounds like the book of Ecclesiastes, doesn't it? Always searching, never satisfied. Being critical of where God has you. Being critical of the relationships he's given you. Being critical of the church he's placed you in. Being critical of your body. Being critical of your hair. How many women like their hair? Right? Critical. It's a spirit of discontentment. She goes on. She says, at its core, being discontent is telling God you don't trust him. I'm not satisfied with what you've given me right now. I don't trust that this is your plan for me. I'm afraid you've got it wrong. And this is what our mother did. This is what our mother did in the Garden of Eden. Satan said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. God's holding something out on you. Satan appealed to her discontentment. She was in paradise, for crying out loud, right? Paradise. And Eve got her eyes off of what God has given her, where God has placed her, and said, I want more. So that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Genesis 3, 4, and 6. Eve's discontentment with God destroyed her. Adam's refusal to confront his wife's discontentment and follow her is what destroyed life as we know it. And this is what continues over and over and over and over and over again in your family. On a historic note, this is the satanic root that has destroyed women in America. Discontentment is what fueled feminism. What is the fuel for feminism? Betty Friedan, cited as one of the main leaders in the feminist movement in 1963, wrote in The Feminist Mystique, the discontented woman experienced as a result of stereotyping that positioned them in the home is what led about the feminist movement. So she targeted women being discontent as housemakers in the home. That was her whole focus. Women, I know you're sitting at home, and she appealed to their spirit of discontentment, and she said, here's a better way. So if she told women just to leave their husbands, to kill their babies, to engage in sexual immorality that was very dangerous for them, to ditch their family and go work outside the home, to recreate, re-envision marriages, to refuse submission, to throw off the Christian values of femininity and purity and modesty and embrace promiscuity and sexual immorality, I don't think she would have got very far. But when she linked that to discontentment, I know you're discontent. And she spoke to their heart of being discontent where they were in their lives, with their families. That's the hook. And she got them, which was Satan, right? I mean, Satan worked through that woman. Satanic. That's what happened to women in our history. Mother's Day for many is a very sad day, because of the dysfunction and the disruption that has taken place in large from the sexual revolution, but all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where discontented women reject Christ and try to live life in their own way. And it wreaks havoc. It brings destructions. It's horrible. Any data that you want to gather on the sexual revolution, that it has made women less happy, it has impoverished them, they're less economically stable, they're lonely, they've killed millions of babies, they feel guilt about that, it just goes on and on and on. So why would any woman want this kind of life? The number one reason is because feminism appeals to the deep discontentment in a woman's heart. The early feminists preyed upon this discontentment, and they offered them a solution. And that for them, the solution was feminism. It will be good for you. It will make you wise. You will not die. There's no consequences for sin. It's better. Proverbs 11:22 says, as a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. That spirit of discontentment and the lies that go with it is like that gold ring in the swine's snout. And once that goes into that snout, you can drag that hog anywhere you want easily through the spirit of that ring. Discontentment does that to women. Once they bite into discontentment and they bite into the lies that answer that, they can be led anywhere. And the devil will take you straight to hell if you seek discontentment and find the answers in him. We've been blessed to live through a rejection of feminism. There's been a rejection. Let's not follow after these feministic ways. These things are lies. So we see in the scripture the answer. There's a be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Psalm 127, the blessing of children, the faithfulness to honor a marriage. Titus 2, that they may be workers in the home and not blaspheme God's word. return to a biblical order in the family, in the church, a return to biblical headship in the home, Ephesians chapter 5, an acceptance of Christian virtues, of modesty, of chastity. These are great things. These are virtues. This is the antithesis. It's the counter reformation, if you will, to the sexual revolution, as important as it is. But what you need to know, mother, is that Satan's attack remains the same. He comes after you, conservative Christian mother, and he tempts you in your weakest moment, when life is hard. He tempts you when you don't get what you want. Well, I've done all these things. I've left the world system and I've done all these things. And guess what? I'm still discontent. Rachel says this. This is Satan's foothold into a woman's life. It's so easy for us to be discontent. And even when we recognize it and acknowledge it and pray about it and fix it, it always comes back. It never goes away. This is not a one and done deal. It's a constant. It's continuous. We can never let our guard down, because the minute we do, the minute we think we're in the clear, it will rear its ugly head again, and we will be unhappy, unsatisfied, and unfulfilled in our lives. We will be ripe for Satan's interference, and he will devour us. The problem never goes away. We always have to be on the alert, always. Satan will always tempt you in your deepest level of discontentment in your heart. This is what lies at the heart of the destruction of motherhood. Over the years, I've observed this pattern over and over again. One wife came to me with her husband, and she was discontent with her marriage, with her life. She was discontent with her relationships, discontent with her church, and she was discontent with me. And she told me how disappointed she was with me. She was complaining that her needs weren't being met. I listened and talked with her and shared with her the gospel and shared with her the solution to her problems of discontentment, which is Christ, to which she didn't listen. And she went on, had multiple affairs with other pastors, and she's now divorced. So this is a pattern that we see, right? We see it from among us. We see people coming in and having a spirit of discontentment. I remember one wife, she was in tears crying, just crying because she was so discontent with where God placed her here. And she was literally in tears. And she got her husband to move, and then they moved, and they lost thousands of dollars, and they're right back where they started from. So I've literally told people, I can save you thousands of dollars and a lot of headache. Just before you do anything, be content where you are. I've had people literally say to me, I want to fix my marriage by doing all these. Be content. I could go story after story, but my point is this, my sister, don't let discontentment destroy you. If you think putting on a conservative approach to life is going to answer your problems for discontentment, it will not. The only thing that solves your problem for discontentment is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not listen to these lies of discontentment. Rachel, again, says this. When we are not content with our circumstances, we need to recognize exactly what we're doing. We need to just go ahead and voice to God the truth in our hearts. And I thought this was well stated. I would not have thought to say it this way. That's why I like reading a girl on this one. And she says this. She says, tell God this. I am not satisfied with where you have me right now. I don't trust that this is your plan for me. I'm afraid that you've got it all wrong. You're allowed to express your feelings. You're allowed to be upset about your circumstances. But the most dangerous thing you could do is to ignore the way you feel and refuse to acknowledge that you are not content. So what do you do if you're discontent? Start with acknowledging it. I'm not content with where I'm at. Okay? The first step to solve the problem is admitting that there is a problem. And even though it feels awkward and wrong, sometimes the best thing you can do is to tell God that you aren't happy with the way he's handling these things. It doesn't mean you're right, but it makes you honest. So it's better to be discontent and honest than to be discontent and dishonest, because then you're completely deceived. Right? So it's better to be honest about your discontentment. Yeah, I don't like where I am. I don't like the difficulties. I don't like the fruit. Okay, be honest about that so that you're not being blindly fallen into the devil's trap of discontentment. It makes you honest. And I'm a firm believer that in the idea that God likes it when you're honest. Once you're honest with God, that's when he starts a work in your heart. How many say amen? Amen? I mean, let's face it, this is hard stuff. Being a mother is hard. It's difficult, right? How many say being a mom's hard? And especially a mom and a grandmom and multi-generational. I mean, talking about pouring your life into this. And it's not always going to feel like you're going to get out what you put into it. Sometimes you get more. Days are different, right? The days go up and down. So we need to be honest with this, so that we can go to God. My encouragement is to go to God. Sisters, go to God honestly about where you are. And tell God what you're feeling. Tell God where you're at. Share with the Lord the discontentment that you have. The disappointment that you have. The fact that things may not have worked out like you'd hoped they would. And come to Christ. Jesus says in John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Come to Christ. Share with him your heart. Share with him your discontentment. Share with him how the grass is so much greener on the other side. He knows that the grass is greener on the other side, but he's placed you in the pasture that he wants you. And let him lead you into the pasture that he wants you to be fed in. Not someone else's marriage, not someone else's life, not someone else's body, not someone else's hairstyle, not someone else's kids. Be satisfied where God has you. And feed on him. Feed on his gospel. Feed on his love. Feed on his grace. Feed on his mercy. Feed on his wisdom. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. Know this, if you leave the pasture of where God has you, the lot that's been allotted for you, remember from Ecclesiastes, rejoice and be thankful for the lot he's given me. And live there. It will keep you from the enemy, from the thief who does not want you to stay in the pasture that God has you. Even though the grass may be a little older and it may be trampled down some, it's where God has you. The thief will always come and say the pasture's better over there because he wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy you and your children and your family and the church and the nation. And that is what has happened in America. How did all these things happen in America? How is it that we're losing all of our liberties and these things? It's because we've forgotten God, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, commenting on what the Russians said. How did that happen in Russia? How does it happen anywhere? How did it happen in Israel? Men forget God. Women forget God. And when women forget God, the beautiful context, the beautiful aroma of the family and of the church and of the multi-generational faithfulness that God has ordained for the family to be a part of, for women to sacrifice and give their lives to, becomes demolished. Demolished. One uncontent, discontent woman trying to find her way into another picture destroys all that good. Just destroys it. It eats it up. Let me ask you, sister, is that worth it? know, they don't say that on the commercials, right? Betty Friedan didn't say that, and she was deceived as much as any other woman. They really believe that freedom is found in discontentment and going your own way. And now we have there are generations of women that believe that the sexual revolution is the right way to go. And now there are many women that have left that and said, okay, I'm going to be the mom, and only to find that to being discontent. And those women are all in their blogs and all writing all this stuff. Yeah, I tried to do the Christian thing, and then I realized that wasn't discontentment either, and they just blast. So you can get blasted from the feminist, you can get blasted from the semi-feminist, you can get at every level. They're blasting you, right? They're saying, we have the answer, we have the answer, we have the answer. Feed on Christ. Don't drop your Bible. That would've been funny if I dropped it, wouldn't it? Feed on Christ. Here's a good way to say it. This is a good way to spot them. And as I read some of these articles, I look at them, and the women that say these things, right? Are they basing it in Scripture? Have they come to their conclusions by Scripture, or are they just ripping at whatever they can rip at to try to find some kind of freedom? Jesus says you'll know the truth, and it's the truth that'll set you free. You want to be set free? Christ in your heart. Christ alone takes away the discontentment. Christ alone takes away the discontentment. Amen? Christ alone. And when Christ alone takes away the discontentment, then he's your Lord and your master. Once he's your Lord and master, then you take his word and you follow his word, and that's called wisdom. And that makes you immune to all of the nonsense, lies, hypocrisy, and deceit that the devil would try to get you away from your high calling that God has given you. Be satisfied in Christ. Come to Christ. Abide in Christ. Contentment in Christ gives you wisdom for life. Discontentment in Christ results in foolishness in your life. That's always going to be true. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house. What does the wise woman do? Builds her house. The wise woman builds her house with contentment in Christ. The wise woman embraces wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. God gives it into your heart. Christ is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. He satisfies my soul. He satisfies my longings. But my husband and my this and my that. Christ is your all. And when Christ satisfies your heart with his atonement, with his life, Jesus said in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. What more love do you want than that? The eternal love of the Father, perfectly communicated in the eternal Son of God, who showed us the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He comes and he gives us his Spirit so that we can be in that relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. That's contentment. You can't get more content than being satisfied with the love of the Father through the Son in the Spirit. You can't handle that much love. Okay? You can't handle that much contentment that God has for you in Christ. So when you have that contentment, the contentment in Christ is what gives you wisdom for life. Proverbs 14:1. A wise woman builds her house. And when she has that kind of contentment, that kind of security, that kind of love, that kind of identity from her Father, even though her earthly father may or may not have given it, right? Her heavenly Father gives that. The fatherhood of God, the perfect Father who perfectly sent Christ, the perfect representation and very image and nature of his Father. As my Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. I go away, I send my Spirit, so the Spirit can pour out that love into our hearts. Romans 5, being poured out continually in the Spirit, in Christ, in the Father. That's the love he has for you. And then that's the kind of wisdom he has. Now go build your house. That's unstoppable, it's unshakable, and that's the greatest gift you can ever have. I'm giving you mothers the greatest gift ever, and I'm telling you what it is. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you take that gospel of Jesus Christ and are content in him, you will have the greatest blessing for your family, the greatest blessing for the church, the greatest blessing for society. And it's not going to meet all your expectations, not going to be without difficulties, but it will be amazing, an amazing display of God's love, and that's God's heart for mothers. On the other hand, if you reject that wisdom, if you become discontent and disillusioned, you forget the gospel. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise one builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. So the foolish woman who becomes discontent, rejects the gospel, whether she says it or not, she's going to pull down her house with her own hands. She's going to pull it down. There's a lot of women pulling down their house with their own hand. They're discontent. They're looking for love in all the wrong places, and they just pull it down. They become irritable. They become crabby. They become critical. Critical of their marriages. Critical of their relationships. Critical of the way God made them. Body image issues. How many sisters can say, I'm thankful for exactly how God made me? Say it. I'm thankful for how God made me. I love that. Psalm 139. My soul knows it well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows it well. I like my nose. I like my ear. I like my eyes. You'd look funny without them. Right? I'm comfortable in my skin. I love the analogy, you know, a husband and wife are both looking in the mirror, right? and the guy's like, yeah, right? And the woman's like, oh, to herself, right? Not her husband. I mean, women are critical, a critical spirit, and it's that critical spirit just leads to discontentment. Discontentment leads to all kind of evil. So let's back it up to the source. Thank you, God, for making me how you did. Thank you for my hair. And that's a little superficial, I know, but you get the point. Because that critical spirit, that discontentment, that's pulling down your house. That's pulling down your house. My husband, discontent with the husband, discontent with the children, discontent with the finances, gets discontent with the car, discontent with the house, discontent with the yard, discontent. Discontent with the church, discontent with the relationships, discontent with the other women. Discontent. When does it end? Where does it end? It ends in destruction. How many people have to go there before we realize, oh, it's Christ. It's Christ. It's not where I live, how I live, where my car, my husband, my kids. But at the core of it, it's Christ. And when you have Christ and when you are content, then you have wisdom to make all the decisions in all these areas. You know what? You may need to fix your house. You may need to get a better car. You may need to be a little more engaging with your husband. You may have some problems in your parenting. I'm not denying that, right? But if you're discontent at your core, you're not going to have the wisdom to address any of that stuff. On the other hand, when you're content in Christ and you're satisfied with him and his yoke is easy and his burden is light and he's lifted your burdens and you're not bearing all of these things in the inappropriate way, believing the lies of the enemy, guess what? Now you're free. You're free to be who God made you to be. And that's a daughter of the King, complete in Christ, identified in him. And that's God's plan. That's God's blessing. That's God's amazing grace that he's given for mothers. So I know you women have a lot on your shoulders. And I salute you, respect you. I praise God for you. I pray for you. I'm thankful for you mothers. I'm thankful for my mother. I'm thankful my mom sacrificed her life for our kids, for me, my sister, my brother, right? I saw her sacrifice. I see the sacrifice in you women. You're giving, you're loving, you're on top of things, you're engaging. Just lose your contentment in Christ. Stay focused in your spirit on Christ. Feed on Jesus Christ. Let him be the lover of your soul. Have your identity in him. Know that godliness with contentment is great gain. You want great gain? Godliness with contentment, that is great gain. So on this Mother's Day, we honor you. We are thankful for you. We praise God for you. We know this is a high calling. It's a tremendous calling. And may God give you the blessing that he has for you to be content in him, that you may have the wisdom of Christ to engage in the high calling of motherhood and everything he's called you to do. Amen? Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Lord, I pray that you'd raise up many women to be content women in Christ, that your Spirit would witness to their spirit your love, your fatherly love, and you'd bring healing to the brokenhearted, that you would speak your healing word into their wounds, that you'd speak your tender mercies into their hurt, into their discontentment, whatever that might be. And I pray, Almighty God, for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit for wise women that would make wise choices to stand against the culture and to stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the truth of the Word of God, and to walk in the ancient paths and to declare your glory and to show forth the love of our Father throughout the generations. This is your work. This is your design. And so we honor you, God, your design, your work, as you have called mothers to do this. We pray your blessing on the mothers here in this country. Father, we pray for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Christ, our Savior and our Lord. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.